This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Some topics feel huge until someone helps us see the human side, and transgender health is one of them. Most of us didn't grow up learning anything about gender-affirming care, yet so many of our friends, family and colleagues navigate it every single day. So today we're opening the door with curiosity, no judgment, no assumptions, just a chance to understand more about how gender-affirming hormones, surgeries, binding, tucking and everyday pelvic health all fit together. Alexandra Lopez is the Director of Pelvic Health Melbourne. She works directly with trans and gender diverse people across all stages of their journey. Alex, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Warren. Great to be here.
When we talk about transgender health from a pelvic health perspective, what does that actually mean in day-to-day life for the people you work with?
A couple of parts. So when we're talking about pelvic health, thankfully the gender-affirming care or hormone therapy that an individual may go through doesn't necessarily affect a lot to do with bladder or bowel, but it can affect intimacy function in our trans men. And that's often what we would see the most of. So vaginal dryness becomes a really, really big issue. And for our trans women, interestingly, sometimes libido drops and sometimes erectile dysfunction can become the mainstays of the impacts of the hormonal therapy.
When someone is considering gender-affirming surgery, Alex, what does, I suppose, pelvic health preparation and recovery often look like?
Wide range, of course, depending on what they want to do. So most of the surgeries currently in Australia are for our trans women, and it's generally a vulva, so we'll do a vaginoplasty or a vulva. So the surgery is generally around there, or we've got our top surgery. The care from our point of view is going to just be a pre-screening in terms of bladder and bowel function and checking that there's no complications. The journey is really long. Of course, there's all the psych therapy that everyone knows about to make sure that you're comfortable with the decision, as most people are. It's an incredible financial decision, Warren, because it costs a lot, and normally it's one, sometimes three surgeries to do the process, depending on recovery rates, what the individual wants to do. So testes are normally removed first. Sometimes it's testes and the vulva is developed, or the vagina, the neo-vagina is created. And then often there's a final vulvoplasty where they create it to look really, really good.
Alex, what about for people who haven't had surgery or don't even plan to have surgery? What kinds of pelvic health support can still make a big difference?
I think understanding, again, like all the discussions that we have, Warren, one, you're not alone, and that these conditions, the common pelvic health concerns that we see in anyone with gender-affirming hormonal therapy are particularly around intimacy pain. And again, I'm probably talking much more about our trans men. Because of the vaginal dryness and the drop in estrogen as they take their testosterone therapy, so they're medically affirming, then that can cause a lot of intimacy pain, problems with vulvodynia. We talked about this with our intimacy pain discussions. And intimacy can become incredibly painful, even if it's external, and touch therapy, they can get clitoridynia. There's help out there, I suppose, is the key thing. And sometimes I've had a few of my patients, because we are in such a flux state of finding great GPs who know all about hormonal status, sometimes they aren't even mentioning topical estrogen therapy. For some of our clients, they don't want to use estrogen. That is not affirming for them. But for others, they're happy to use estrogen just topically to reduce the impact and to make intimacy more comfortable.
So when you say topically, so we apply it like a cream or something like that externally.
Exactly.
And what impact does that have? How much does that improve intimacy?
Oh, massive. It gives it back its BB bounce.
They come back with a smile.
Correct. So the concept is de-estrogenize the vaginal space. The vagina shrinks, shrinks about a centimetre in width and length. Now, if this individual wants to have penetrative play, then or wants to continue with penetrative play, that can be painful.
Wow.
So it won't stretch as well. But as soon as you put your estrogen in, it becomes more youthful-like. So as soon as you come off estrogen, it becomes more like a menopausal vagina, dry, and also less elastic. So by putting that topical estrogen in, it can really have some fantastic benefits from the clients. The other thing to say also, some of my clients, again, my trans men, can get new bladder urgency. And sometimes the introduction of estrogen into the vaginal space can reduce their bladder urgency as well.
That's amazing. Alex, do you find you have to educate a lot of GPs on what to do, particularly, for example, the topical application of the hormones, the estrogen?
Definitely. Yeah, on that, but that's not specific to any situation. That's across the board in terms of GPs, because they can't be over everything. You know, I think our GPs have got a tough run. Mm. Always for anyone who's gender affirming or transitioning to find a really experienced GP is so worthwhile, and it's worth the wait, because they do understand the medical management for this. Just to get the right millimoles of testosterone or estrogen in the system just requires a little bit of play, as a lot of your listeners will know.
Alex, what about people who bind or tuck? What does the body experience physically, and I suppose what are some signs that you know, that extra care might be required?
Thank you for that question, because I do see a lot of this. But the really important thing is that tucking is okay. I think a lot of my clients are really worried, but tucking is okay. Of course, the only issue is the testes are at a slightly warmer temperature, so it may affect fertility in the long term. What I have seen, if you're not gentle enough sometimes, obviously we've got a slightly increased risk of hernia and also of nerve damage. And so I'll have patients with testicular pain. And so, we have to be very careful of their technique. And two, if you've got pain, don't ignore it. Yeah, because it might be a nerve pain, kind of like you've injured your back and you're getting leg pain. Same sort of thing. We need to calm the neural system down around the area, have a look at the technique and make sure that you're not causing any damage. And definitely, I do like the supportive garments. Just to support, if you're tucking, that you're wearing a gaff or you're wearing something nice and supportive over that groin area.
We're chatting with Alex Lopez from Pelvic Health Melbourne about transgender pelvic health and how learning more can help all of us feel more connected. Alex, just on, I mean, loss of intimacy or the ability to experience pleasure and intimacy, that's a big thing. Do you find that a lot of people who, whether they're undergoing surgery or not, don't realise that there are treatments and there's help for that and it's not permanent?
Absolutely. All genders, those who are born with a penis, we know that as we age, our erectile function decreases. That's mostly associated with heart health, but it decreases for just about everyone. 50% at 60 for those with a penis have erectile dysfunction. It's not as hard generally, and premature ejaculation is really common, and there's stuff we can do about it. This is what's crazy, and I definitely want more people talking about it, coming in to see what you can do about it. And for those who are assigned female at birth with a vagina, the vagina changes so much. Of course, we've talked about, you know, pregnancy pain, endo, adeno. That doesn't stop just because you're on testosterone. So you may still have a spiking and continual problem. And I have some of my clients 3 years later still getting their period.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's not all of a sudden a magic fix. Most will stop their period in 6 months, but some, it takes a long time.
For those of us who aren't trans but want to better support friends, family, colleagues, what's a helpful way we can talk about this, pelvic health, et cetera, with our friends without feeling awkward or intrusive? Like if I come across someone, I'd want to say, you need to go and see a pelvic health physio quick. But what's a good way to approach it without feeling like you're crossing that boundary?
Do you know, I think just learning a little bit more. As soon as we debunk what it is, You know, what are they going through? And you understand a little bit of the side effects. Then you can talk with a little bit more knowledge to the person. It's not like you're throwing out evidence or throwing out advice without having an understanding. But like anything, when you're talking to someone, is how can I best support you? Mm. Asking the question first, because they may be in a very vulnerable time and they don't want to talk about it. But linking in with people you may know or have heard of who are informed, I think can really help.
Alex, you know, I love the conversations that we have with you. We learn so much about...
Oh, God, there's so much I can talk about, you know.
That's why we have you on every month.
I can keep on going. I definitely, because I've spent a lot of time with those assigned male at birth over the last 2 years, because we've been developing this national course, I'm particularly passionate of that. For those with a penis to see optimal erectile function. And I think, and I see a lot of young men who are having trouble. And just to talk about norms, you know, is so important. Having a safe space with people who are experienced to talk about what is normal. I want it for all your listeners, normal function for time to orgasm is 3 to 7 minutes for those who've got a penis. I have so many men come to me and say, I think there's a problem because they last for 10 minutes. I said, you're sitting above norm. You're already overachieving. Come on.
It's all about being curious and finding out, isn't it?
It so is. It's about just all of us getting a slight increase in our knowledge, I think really helps in this space. And I think it's happening, and that's what I'm excited to see in the world. There is just so much more discussion about diversity.
Absolutely. Alex, love chatting with you. I can't wait until our next chat.
Fantastic. Thanks, Warren.
Thank you, Alex Lopez, from the Director of Pelvic Health Melbourne. And for anyone wanting more information or support, you can visit pelvichealthmelbourne.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.